Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 3. Oh, Pastor, just thank you for the privilege allowing me to have a small part in all of this. I cherish it. I love it because I love the passion this church and this man of God has for God. I've had the privilege to know these men, Brother Schmidt and Brother Christopherson, and boy, all of this, it is just so magnificent. Their heart, Brother Jerry's heart for the passion of God and to see God. You understand this building and what's happening here. The building's irrelevant. It's what's going to be done in the building that all the passion is for. Now, one day, all these buildings will be gone. They will have dissolved into the echoes of time. But what's happening in them is eternal. And that's what we're excited about. That's the great key. We're about to read a psalm written by David, Psalm number 3. And I want to paraphrase before we read it. The devil with a passion wants to get your focus in life on verses 1 and 2. And God with a passion wants to get your focus on verses 3 and 4. And the question tonight that begs an answer in every one of us is, where do you live? Do you live in verse 1 and 2? Or do you live in verse 3 and 4? Now, where you live geographically is insignificant compared to where you live as a child of God in relation to God's Word. And the devil wants reality for you to be verse 1 and 2. And God wants your reality for you to dwell and to live in verse 3 and 4. But the choice is yours. I can promise you tonight, the devil will make a pitch bid to get me to verse 1 and 2. He'll make a pitch bid to try to drag your pastor to verse 1 and 2. Brother Furso to verse 1 and 2. To you. But by God's grace, we don't have to live in verse 1 and 2. We have the privilege, by the grace of God, to be able to live in verse 3 and 4. Now let's take a look at what the Bible has to say. Psalm number 3. Start with me at verse 1. O Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? You know what I've discovered? The world's full of goofy, crazy, nutty, wacky people. And they all want to know me. How many of y'all know some goofy, nutty, wacky people? Hold your hand up. Yeah. How many of y'all got some in your family personally? Sure. How many of y'all are sitting next to one right now? Sure, look at all. They're everywhere. Wow. Someday at the end of life's journey, I'm going to write a little book on unusual people I've met at church. Because, boy, there are some unusual ones. And you know what? They're upset, they're distressed, and their goal in life is to get you upset and distressed. They want to bug you. Now, the word that's used here is the word trouble. They're Eeyores. How many of you know who Eeyore is? Great Christian book, Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore is the little guy that doesn't matter how it is, it's no good. Oh, good today, but not tomorrow. And these people, they got the personality of a barbed wire fence. They just want to nip at you. And you know what? If you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I can be that person who just nips at somebody. My family raised a lot of cattle at one time, and Man, we had so many acres that were fenced in, and every year we had to run those fences and fix them. And it didn't matter how good your gloves were, how thick your jacket was. Man, at the end of the day, you were cut to pieces because that barbed wire just nipped and nipped and nipped at you. And these people want to nip at you. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, you don't understand. He's my boss. You don't understand. It's my neighbor. You don't understand, it's someone in my family. And all of a sudden, what's troubling captures us. And the devil's got you living right where he wants you to dwell. The world says, well, what are you going to do? You just got to put up with it. No, you don't. By the grace of God, you do not have to live in verse 1 and 2. By the grace of God, you can live in verse 3 and 4. The economy, boy, does it nip at us. All these circumstances, goofy things. You know what I've discovered? Everybody has trials. Everybody has powerful concerns in their life. And what the devil wants is for them to be our focus and wants us to pull us there. Yeah. David said, many, many, how they are increased that trouble me. Look at that one. Many are they that rise up against me. Now, the word they there was the word not just for people, but for circumstances. It was people. But it was also circumstances. Have you ever said to yourself, how did I get in this mess? How many of y'all have ever said something like that? How many of y'all ever said, how could I have been this stupid after you did it the third time? Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, where we're dwelling, where we're living, is in verse 1. Boy, the stuff that's nipping at us and the stuff that we're watching rise up against us. Brother Gibbs, I thought I kind of had my future all planned out, this goofy economy. My house was worth a lot of money. Now it's not. Man, it's rising up against you. And the devil would love to have you thinking about that day and night so that he can get you and me to dwell there. Wow. Look at the next thing he says. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah, think about that. Have you ever had somebody just suck the juice out of you with their words? Suck the hope out of you? Their words drain you. One of the things that I love about your pastor is he's a man of hope. One of the things that's magnificent about this ministry, one of the things that's going to happen in that building is hope is going to be put in people. We don't want people where the words are cutting and draining and hurting. There's some people that I know if I have a problem, Brother Sisk, please don't let them know I have a problem. Because if they know, I'll have two problems. I'll have my problem, and I'll have what they're doing when they just wanted to call and tell you, doesn't look good, but we're praying for you. Well, thanks a ton. Boy, you know what? Words are powerful. Now, can I remind you, by command of God, your words are to be edifying. They're to be uplifting. They're to be encouraging. God never called any child of God to be a hope sucker outer. He has called you to be a hope putter inner. And we've got too many people walking around like little Hoover vacuum cleaners. They just want to suck out whatever is good in there. And God says, stop it. I don't want you living in verse 1 and 2. Where do you live? It amazes me in America, a land of such bounty, how many people we have living in verse 1 and 2. And yet you go to third world countries where the poor people have nothing. And they're happy. And they've decided not to live in verse 1 and 2. Boy, where am I going to dwell? The great evangelist Billy Sunday, who was so mightily used from God in America, used to preach all the time on, as a child of God, remember, where you live determines everything. And tonight, where we live is going to determine a lot. Am I going to live in verse 1 and 2 thinking about, boy, the Eeyores and all the problems and the difficulties? Or am I going to go to verse 3 and 4? Let's see what verse 3 has to say. Powerful word, but thou, O Lord, and here's the three things, three keys authored by God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Do you realize God wants to be your shield? Wants to be your shield. And who in their right mind would not want God to be their shield? Why would you want to live in verse 1 and 2 when God says, you're my child, get behind my shield? Now, the shield here is explained in the New Testament. It's the shield of faith. And we're commanded in Ephesians to take the shield of faith. You see, that's what we're going to do tonight in all kinds of spheres in our life. We're going to decide, am I going to put up the shield of faith? And am I going to be a man, a woman, a child of faith? That's what God says. Get behind that faith shield. Brother Steve Kluth is here with me, and Brother Kluth and I were invited to a wonderful church a number of years ago. They had a men's conference. This is a great church, but their men's conference was the most unusual men's thing I ever went to. They went way up into the mountains, and they had all these men, huge number of men, and these got to be the most manly men I've ever seen. The stuff they did for activities at this men's conference, I say this respectfully, were nuts. The first event was a boxing match. A boxing match. No headgear. They have two paramedics there with suture kits. And the way you win is when you have pulverized your opponent such they can't get up anymore. And I'm sitting here watching this, and teeth are flying. Eyebrows are split. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this is brotherly love. Wow. Good night. Then it got better. And by the way, they said, Brother Gibbs, don't you want to do the boxing? I said, no, I'm into sumo wrestling. I'm not into boxing, man. I'm not going to do the boxing. Brother Steve, he's our boxer. I said, when you're ready to do the sumo stuff, then you call Brother Gibbs. Wow. But what they did next floored me. They lined all the men up in two lines facing each other. And they were about as far apart as from the middle to that wall. And they handed each one a loaded paint gun, turned on high. Now, they have no helmets, nothing, no protection. But the game is, you shoot at each other. And I'm watching this, and I've never been hit by a paintball blast, but I'm listening to these guys. And I thought, that don't look like no fun. Hand me another Krispy Kreme. This is crazy. Man, when I'm watching that, I need something to get my mind off of it. How many of y'all love Krispy Kremes? Yeah. You don't love... You understand in the Old Testament, that's what manna was, Krispy Kremes, all right? And they're whack, 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 just pulverizing each other. And then if you were still in it after you emptied your gun, they reloaded all the guns and moved each side in 5 feet. And they did it again. Pow, pow, pow. They're just popping each other. And then when the guns were all empty, they moved them in another 5 feet. And then another, and pretty soon, they're the distance from me to Brother Schmidt. And they're just popping each other. I'm thinking, we're going to play this game. I want a 22. I don't want no paint gun. Whoa. You know what? What they were doing there and making themselves vulnerable like that and exposing themselves is nothing compared to when a child of God doesn't get behind the shield of faith. Because when you're not behind the shield of faith, you're saying to the devil, take your best shot. Go ahead, here's me, here's my family. Pow, pow. Why would anybody in their right mind as a child of God not want to be behind the shield of faith that can quench every fiery dart of the devil? The devil can't get one thing past that shield of faith. Where do you live? And are you behind the shield of faith? Tonight, I beg you, for the course, the direction, the dream of your life, get behind the shield of faith. For your giving, get behind the shield of faith. Remember, the Bible says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, the devil wants me, he wants you, to get where he can get clean shots at us. And I meet people all the time that say, boy, Brother Gibbs, I don't know how to tell you this, but, and pow, they got hit. Oh, my friend, David said, I'm not living in verse 1 and 2. I'm going to go where my God has a shield for me. The shield of faith. When we serve, when we give, when we direct our lives, the shield of faith makes all the difference in the world. Now, if you're here and you don't know Christ, that shield's not available to you. This is a shield for the child of God. And by accepting Christ as your Savior, it can readily and quickly be made available for you. But if you're saved, and how many of you know the Lord as your personal Savior, then tonight get behind the shield of faith. I have to keep reminding myself, David, get behind the shield of faith. Stop trying to do it your way. Stop trying to calculate your things. David, by faith, get behind that shield. Oh, that's where God wants me to live. That's where God wants you to live. One of the things that I've loved is so many people have said to your pastor, boy, do you understand the economy? And as if somehow he wouldn't understand the economy. But you know what? He's not going to live in verse 1 and 2. He's behind a shield of faith. Lord, what do you want us to do by faith? Oh, you need to be thankful that you have that example. These young people, I promise you, for all eternity, they're going to be thrilled at what they did for God. Because they're learning by faith. And tonight, by faith, we get to give. By faith. Look at the second thing it says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Then here's the second one, my glory. Wow, you sure want that shield. But then he says, you're my glory. Now let me paraphrase for a moment. You're my everything. My everything. Everything I need, everything I desire is you. You are my glory. Is he everything to you? Is he everything to me? Or you're a lot, But I got to have you and what? Because you're just not enough in and of yourself. Oh boy. Is he your glory? Is he everything to you? I promise you, he's all that matters in life. And yet we get so distracted with our toys and our dreams and our plans, and pretty soon, he's not our glory. And we have to come back and push the reset button and say, you're everything to me. You are. That's why that great song, Rooted in Christ, because he's everything. I promise you on your deathbed, you won't say, bring me my new car here in the hospital one more time. Let me see my house one more time. Let me see my portfolio one more time. Oh no. At the end of the trail, he'll be everything. Well, he doesn't want to be everything at the end of life's trail. He wants to be everything in life's trail. And he is your glory. Your glory. I mentioned we go to these third world countries, and Brother Sisk and Dr. Chappell could testify to this so much. The people who come, many of them don't have shoes. And their clothes are just so tattered. But it's the best they have. And they come and they smile. And you say, how can you people be so happy? You don't have anything. And they say, oh, Brother Gibbs, we have him. And he's everything. If you lost it all, you still have him. And is he everything to you? Everything. Wow. I have to keep reminding myself because we're so spoiled. We live so spoiled. You're my glory. Not all this other stuff. You are. And you're my shield. And you're my glory. Now, you got to do it by the shield of faith. Man, when we serve, when we give, by faith. But Lord, while I'm doing it, you're everything to me. When I fill out my little card tonight, am I doing it by faith? And is he everything to me? The devil's going to crowd all kinds of stuff into our thinking because he doesn't want the Lord to be our glory. But boy, David said it so right. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory. Look at the third one. I love this. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine That's incredible. That's incredible. You know what God says? You're going to have stuff in life that's going to try to bow you, to bend you, to break you, and I'll be the lifter of your head. Well, I like to hope that sometimes I have the privilege to encourage some people, but you know what? God is the lifter of heads. He's the one who can lift it up. And I promise you, life can throw something at you that comes right out of left field that you're not ready for. And all of a sudden, the question is, well, what are you going to do now? He's the lifter of my head. That great song that we sing, It Is Well With My Soul, was written by an attorney, Horatio Spafford, whose family had largely all perished at sea. And he was sitting in his Chicago office, and he got a telegram that only his wife and one child survived. The rest had all perished, drowned. And one of his partners came up and said, you always talk about how great your God is. How good's your God now? And Horatio sat there at an office, a law office, and wrote, It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. It is well with my soul. What are you doing to get your head lifted? What is it that restores the joy and brings the great peace. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you will go through. All I know is he's the lifter of our head. When my mom had polio, she outlived everybody had polio with her by over 30 years. And when we would take my mom to the doctor, the doctors would say, "Mrs. Gibbs, I don't understand it. You have nothing that works. Nothing. Every organ is shot. How you're still alive and how you smile. What do you attribute it to?" And she always said, "Read Psalm 3. I got somebody who lifts my head and makes my life everything it is." Why do you want to live with you trying to jack your head up when God says, "How about letting me be the lifter of your head?" I wonder if the kids would say, "Mom, boy, God lifts Mom's head. God lifts Dad's head. God's the lifter of our heads around here." Oh my, it makes all the difference. Are you behind the shield? Is he everything? Is he your glory? And by his grace, is he the lifter of your head? Can I remind you, your face is God's billboard, and everybody reads it. And you know what I've discovered? If I'm not careful, my face can be a bad billboard for God. I can get aggravated, I can get tired, I can get distressed. Pretty soon, Brother Gibbs looks like one very unhappy Alabama camper. And you know what God says? "I'm your shield. Man, get behind the faith shield. And I'm your glory. I'm everything you need or ever will need. And David, I'm the lifter of your heads." Now, there's one more verse, and it's the triggering agent for all of this. Take a look at verse 4. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." I cried unto the Lord. Prayer is that divine triggering agent. Prayer. I cried unto the Lord. When's the last time you truly cried to him and said, "Help my faith. I want to be behind the shield of faith. And you are everything. Oh, don't let me forget that. You're everything. I don't need anything except you. You're my glory. And by your grace, by your power, you're the lifter of my head. And help me to teach my children for you to be the lifter of our heads. Help me to show them the shield of faith. The faith of how we live, the faith of how we guide our lives with you ordering our steps, the faith of how we give." How many of you have children? Hold your hand up. How many of you know they're God's little spies? How many of you all know that? They're watching. They're watching. I had the privilege today to have lunch with Pastor's family and those two precious grandbabies, and all I could think of is, Bill Camden, he's already watching. The kids watch, and we get the privilege to show them how we cry unto the Lord. Tonight, I don't know what it is that's in verse 1 and 2 that's nipping at you. I just know everybody's got it. And don't live there. Don't let 1 and 2 be your reality. By the grace of God, come to verse 3 and 4. And by the grace of God, live there. You are my shield. One of the things that I love about the shield of God is when we by faith do what God puts on our hearts, we're a protected people. We're shielded. Now, it's not a shield you can see, but it's a shield that it's a reality beyond anything in life because it's the shield of God. Tonight, by faith, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Put up that faith shield. Lord, I'm asking you, I cried unto the Lord. All belongs to you. What do you want me to do? Lord, I want to do what you want. That great shield, that faith shield. As a child of God, it's absolute foolhardiness to not be behind it. At that men's retreat in the mountains I told you about, that night when I preached, I never saw so many black and blue people. I mean, one guy's eye was bulged shut. And another guy, man, he had stitches over the... And I'm like, boy, I'm going to tell you, we play that game, I want to be in a tank. I want to be where those pink... But you know what? They expose themselves. Don't let the devil get you exposed. By the grace and the power of God, get behind the shield of faith. And then let him be your glory. You're everything to me. Everything. And then, oh my friend, lift my head. Not can I generate a positive thought. You're the lifter of my head. And he can do what no man can do. Because I cried unto the Lord. David, boy, the devil would have loved to kept you in verse 1 and 2 and ended the psalm right there. But you didn't let that happen. By the power and the grace of God, you got behind the shield. And you realized, man, what nips at you? Life's trials, challenges, difficulties, ups, downs. That's just life. You're my glory. You're everything that matters to me. And you're the lifter up of my head. Tonight, we get to live in verse 3 and 4. But it's your decision. Where are you going to choose to live? And why would you want to live in verse 1 and 2? Why would you want to be miserable? I've had to ask myself that. How many of y'all ever said, I shouldn't be feeling like I'm feeling as a child of God? How many of y'all have ever thought that? And you know what, Brother Sisk? I had to say, come on, David, get out of verse 1 and 2. That's not where you should live. I'm getting behind the shield of faith. My God's in control of everything. And all I have to do is exercise my trust, my faith in him. And boy, that shield is up. And then you're my everything. And you're the lifter of my head. Tonight, I invite you. Let your reality be verse 3 and 4. And don't let the devil drag you back to verse 1 and 2. He's powerless. The Lord's all powerful. And by God's grace, we can be the people tonight who say, by faith, I'm getting behind the shield. And by faith, this is what I'm going to do with the vision and my giving and my heart for God. Because he's everything to me. Everything. And he's the lifter of my head. The choice where we live now rests with you and me.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.